And please open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Proverbs, the 10th chapter. We'll be reading responsively verses 15 through 22. Your Scofield Bible, by the way, that's page 678. Page 678. Starting with verse 15, we'll read responsively through verse 22. And the 22nd verse is the text verse. May we please stand, as is our custom to do, for the reading of the Word of God. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for your word. Thanks so much. It's a wonderful thing that we have your word and we have access to it. Thank you for the preaching of it here in this church on Sunday evenings, Sunday mornings, Wednesday evenings, and how our lives have been enriched by it. Now, thou hast something for us tonight. Bless, we pray, with thy power and the preaching and the hearing of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I sit up here and think about my sermon and get my mind on what I'm going to preach about. To be honest with you, I get so excited the time I get up. I just can't wait to get up. I just want to say the choir, no music tonight, but the music is so important to us. But I want to just preach and then have the music sometimes. Not because I think music unimportant, because I just can't wait to get up here. I mean that. I've been thinking about this tonight, and I can't wait to get up here to hear what I'm going to say. And I want to speak tonight. I didn't change the sermon, just changed the title. I was going to give the title, When God Gives It, It Don't Hurt or Doesn't Hurt. But I want to change the title tonight to the subject, The Water or the Fountain. The Water or the Fountain. And somewhere tonight, before we get through, I'll guarantee you, something's going to snap in your brain. You're going to say, yeah, sure. Or something may snap in your brain. You may go, duh, I don't know what. But somewhere tonight, something's going to snap in your brain. And so, I want to just read this to you. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. That's a heap of verse. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Written by Solomon. And I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, the water of the fountain. And I promise you, if you listen to what I've got to say, you'll not leave saying that's a great sermon. But I promise you, you'll leave saying it was worthwhile for me to come to church tonight. Father, bless the message now as we enter into this great book to discuss one of its great truths. In Jesus' name, amen. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. There's a peculiar feeling in my mind when I hear Solomon talk about happiness. I have I have mixed emotions. First, I want to say to Solomon, shut up. You don't know anything about happiness. You weren't happy at all. In fact, when you got to the end of your life, you said, it's all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That's the first thought I have when Solomon starts talking about happiness. But then, I have a second thought. though Solomon did not know anything about happiness, he did know where happiness was not. Everything that Solomon gives us tells us where you cannot find happiness. So I can listen with confidence as he tells us why it was not found. This is it. By the way, he tells us, he tried it all. Everything. Everything you think will make you happy, he tried it and didn't make him happy. And everything you think will make you happy has never made anybody happy. But Solomon is the representative person in all of history who had everything that man thinks will make him happy and tried it and found it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. So I can listen with confidence as Solomon tells me where happiness is not found. And he says this. He says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now let's turn that inside out. That means the blessing of the world, it maketh rich, and it adds sorrow with it. You see, the riches, by the way, I'm not going to say tonight it's wrong to have riches. I'm not going to say tonight it's wrong to be educated. I'm not going to say tonight it's wrong to have abundance. But I want to tell you the difference tonight is in how you get the abundance or the riches. Now, the riches were attractive enough, now follow me carefully, the riches were attractive enough to make Solomon seek them and many others seek them, thinking, one, that they somehow could shed the accompanying sorrow. Solomon is saying this. He's saying when the world gives you riches, it always has an accompanying sorrow with it. Now, Solomon and everybody else somehow feels that they could shed the sorrow that accompanies the riches. Or, perhaps, that it would be worth the sorrow to have the riches. Now, one of those two things. Either Solomon had to believe that he would be an exception and that the riches of the world would not bring an accompanying sorrow with them, or that the riches were so great that they were worth the sorrow. Now follow me carefully. Look right this way. The one in note taking, I want you to look right this way. He got wealth, but with it came the accompanying sorrow. Now I'm just going to list a few of them. Good night. I want to say this. There's no way in the world I'd be rich. No way. You couldn't talk me into being rich. No way in the world. I mean, if you tried to make me rich, let me think about that. No, if you tried, I wouldn't do it. Now, I just wouldn't. I wouldn't take it. There's no way. If I inherited $1 million, let me say this. I could be rich if God would have let me live, if I'd taken all the opportunities I've had. There's no way I'd be rich. I'd rather be poor than rich. I'd rather live modestly than extravagantly. I just like it that way, and there's no way. And that way, I don't envy anybody who is rich. Nor do I feel inferior around anybody who is rich. Because I wouldn't have it if I had a chance to take. I wouldn't have it. Now, it's easy to say that if you didn't have a chance, but I've had my chances. And I could have made some money. But I wouldn't do it. Now, the reason is, and that reason is this. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow. Now, hear me, don't leave me now. But the riches of the world addeth riches, or maketh rich, and does bring sorrow with it. Let's take the matter of monetary wealth. With it, for Solomon, came and comes a bad conscience often over how you get it. And once you start getting it, it's awfully hard not to get it at any cost. A man stood in my office last week. He's probably in this room tonight. And the man is a man of some means. And he was trying to figure out what to do with it. He's a member of this church. And he said, money does something to you that nothing else does. And he said, I don't want it to happen to me. And I want to use my money for God. I don't want it to happen to me. But you see, when Solomon got wealth, and with it came a bad conscience over how he got some of it. And with it came the sorrow of fear of losing it. I mean, if you haven't got anything, you can't be afraid of losing it. You can't come back where you ain't been. And so with it came the fear of losing it. And with it came the jealousy of those who have more. Once you try to get a lot, you want to have more than the next fella. It becomes almost an athletic contest or competition with the jealousy of those who have more. And with it comes the sorrow of not knowing if you have a friend. Now, those are just some of the sorrows that accompany riches given by the world. Now, follow me carefully. Let's leave riches for a second, and let's go to learning, education. Along with financial riches, intellectual riches from the world also bring sorrow with them. With this learning that Solomon had, and with the learning anybody has in the world, there comes pride. Along with education, there comes looking down on others who are less educated. The more music you learn, the harder it is to be humble around those that present music inferior to yours. I said this last Sunday night. You get as educated as you can get and still be you. And when you get to where you can't still be you, then you quit school. Just quit. I don't care if you have to quit. Just quit. When you get to the place where you're about to become a snob, just quit it. Just quit it. I'd rather be an ignorant, gracious person than an educated snob. But that's off the subject. But I like to get off the subject. And I plan to get off several times during the sermon. But I want to say this. With the riches of learning came pride, looking down on others. And not only that, jealousy of those who know more. And when you get riches, monetary riches, in the world, then you want to hoard it. When you get, and you don't want to share it. When you get educational riches in the world, intellectual riches in the world, you'll get to where you don't want to share it. You want to hoard it. And jealousy comes of those who know more. Same is true about fame. Now, I'm not to the sermon yet, but don't leave me. Same is true about fame. With the riches of money, and I'll guarantee tonight that the more money that you have in your bank account, the harder it is for you to be happy. I've had people in this church sit in my office and say, we have a lot of money, I wish we'd never had it. I wish we'd never gotten it. And I always offer to help them along that line. But because why? Because I'm not talking about the devil now, I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about the world and the flesh, not just the devil. But along with riches of money in the world, there comes a sorrow. And the more money you have, the more sorrow you have. Along with riches of learning comes sorrow. And the more learning you have, I don't know if that's a good word, but the more learning you have, more education you have, formal training you have, the more the temptation is, or the more sorrows that come and tempt you. The same is true with fame. Solomon was a king. He was famous. But with it came the sorrow of the fear it wouldn't last. Ask the former Filipino ruler, Marcos. I mean, you're always afraid you'll be toppled from the throne. Always afraid you'll lose your fame. Ask the superstars in sports. You see, brother, in Jesus and in God's will is the only way that the older you get, the higher you rise.
I mean, in the world. There's nothing as sad to me as one of these old movie stars that's no longer wanted. An old beauty queen, no longer beautiful. An old athlete, no longer famous. Living in obscurity. Solomon said, with every type of riches that the world gives. And Solomon knew what he was talking about. He had it all. He said, there comes with it a sorrow that is added. Some sorrows with riches of money. Some sorrow with riches of learning. Some sorrow with riches of fame. And only that. In the world, there also is an accompanying sorrow. Now hear me. There's an accompanying sorrow with riches of friendship, even. Because with the friends in the world, there comes a fear of unanswered love. There comes the sorrow of a different degree of the answer. There comes the sorrow of the possible death of your friend, or another taking your place in the life of your friend. What Solomon is saying here, whether it's riches of money, riches of friendship, riches of fame, riches of learning, whatever it is, the world's riches have an accompanying sorrow with them. Now, follow me carefully. He then turns to those same riches. Now this is it right here. He then turns to those same riches. And he says, if God gives you those same riches, there's no accompanying sorrow. Hear me. If God gives you the same amount of money that you get in the world, God does not give you with that money the accompanying sorrow. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Don't leave me. When God gives you your friends, same friends, He does not give you with His gifts the accompanying sorrow. When God gives you learning or education or training, same education, same college, same fact, same book, same teacher, when God gives it to you, He does not give His gifts with the accompanying sorrow. When God gives you fame, He does not give you with the gift of fame the accompanying sorrow. Now follow me. I tell you why. Because, and I want your attention real carefully now. Because when God gives it to you, you get the fountain and not the water. And when you got the fountain, you don't have to worry about losing the water. Jesus said, I am the living water. He's an artesian well that never runs dry. So if you own the well, you don't have to worry about losing some water. Now, if you hoarding water and just getting water and don't own the well, if you spill a bucket, you can cry. But brother, if you own the fountain and the bucket spills, laugh. Go back to the fountain. It's still flowing. You see, when God, oh my soul, I love this. When God gives you the same thing that the world gives you, God gives you the fountain and not the riches. God doesn't give you riches, ladies and gentlemen. He gives you the fountain from which riches flow. And that's why that a person that gets it from God has no sorrow with it. He's not trying to hoard it fully. If I lose it, just go back to the fountain. You see. So, let's go through these now. For example, let's go to money. I used to sit, as a little boy, and we were so poor. Good night, we were poor. I mean, this poverty level we got now. The folks that, I mean, if anybody ate like the food stamp people ate in our neighborhood, we called them rich people. I mean, we just were glad to lick the stamps. But I mean, that just tasted good. But I'm saying, we were. I used to sit in a little old shack of a place, and I used to say, someday I'm going to make $1 million. That's infinity concerning money. I'm going to make $1 million. Well, bless God, I've made several $1 million. I mean that. You say, how much of it you got? Let's check and see. See, I got 30, 40, 50, 60, 75, 80. I got 85, about $86. You say, where's a million? I've been distributing it. So aren't you afraid that if you lose it, that you're afraid about it? No, that's if the world gives it to you. See, God gives it to you. I got the fountain. My God will supply all you need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the fountain. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's the fountain. So, the same amount of money given by God has no accompanying sorrow with it. You can get the same amount of money from the world that you get from God. And Solomon says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now, I'm talking about rich. I'm talking about Russell Anderson rich. I'm talking about Jack DeCosta rich. I'm talking about filthy rich. Same amount of money. If the world gives it to you, the sorrow, I wonder if I'm going to lose it. But if God gives it to you, you don't worry about losing it. Why? Because you got the fountain. You don't need to worry about losing money if you got the money maker. I mean, if you've got the ice cream machine, you don't worry about spilling the ice cream. You drop your ice cream cone, you know, drop it on the sidewalk, you don't cry. You just go back because you've got the machine. And God said, through Solomon, Solomon said, I have tried the riches of money and there were sorrows with it. I've tried the riches of fame and there were sorrows with it. I've tried the riches of education and learning and there were sorrows with it. I've tried the riches of friendship of the world, and there are sorrows with it. But he said, if God gives you the same riches and the same friends and the same fame and the same, what else is that? Same learning. You can tell I ain't got it. But same learning, same thing. God gives it to you. No sorrow with it. World gives it to you. There's sorrow with it. Now, you see, when God gives you money, for example, but God gives me money. I didn't want it. I didn't seek it. So when I get it, I got something I didn't want. I don't have any fear of losing it. I didn't want it. No fear of losing it. You say, why don't you want it? I don't like to be bogged down with it. And if I know the fellow who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, I recall, and I haven't told this story in years here, and it's time you heard it again. We first came to Hammond about 95 years ago. We first came to Hammond. I had to borrow some money. I won't tell the name of the bank or the name of the banker, but this story happened exactly like I'm telling it. I went down to the bank, and after I've been here a few years, just 2 or 3 or 4 years, and the first thing I do when I go to a new town, I build a credit rating. I go down to the bank, borrow $100, pay it back in a week, borrow another $100, pay it back in a week, borrow $200, pay it back in a week, borrow $300, pay it back in a month, borrow $400, pay it back in a month, borrow $500, pay it back in a month, and I'm building up how much I can borrow, so I'll have a credit rating. And I always do that. And the churches, I've always done it at churches too. But anyway, I went down and had that $5,000. So I went to the banker, and I said to my banker, by the way, it's president of the bank, I said, I want to borrow some money. Why? He said, Reverend, you got the best credit that we know of. He said, why, of course. He said, how much do you want? And I said, $5,000. He gulped. And those days, $5,000 or $50,000 now. I mean, a good salary in 27 years ago, a good salary was $5,000 or $6,000 a year. And I want to borrow $5,000. That's a year's salary nearly. He gulped and he said, Reverend, I can't do that. Well, I said, why? But he said, Reverend, he said, what kind of collateral you got? I said, my name, my signature. What he said, I'm in what's going to back up the loan. I said, you won't find anything better to back up the loan than that. And brother, let me tell you something. You got a debt, you don't pay it. I wouldn't give you a dime for your Christianity. Not a dime for it. Listen, you got people in this room tonight. I have old debt. I mean, we got folks owe hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt to house Anderson College and Hammond Baptist School. You never intend to pay. And don't you? You have no right to go to McDonald's after church tonight till you pay some of your debt. You have no right to do that. Anyway, I haven't got time for that. I just want to prove to you I'm going to get off the subject again. And I have other plans to detour several times throughout. But anyway, I said, I've got to have the money. He said, what kind of security can I have? I said, all the security a man can have. My word. He said, Reverend, I can't let you borrow. No talking, please. I can't let you borrow $5,000 on an unsecured loan. I said, it's not unsecured. My word, I'll pay you. Well, when I was down in Texas, if I wanted to borrow $5,000, I called a banker. He sent the check over to me, and he said, come and sign the note when you want to. Well, I was used to that. This banker said, okay, Reverend, I can't let you have it. And I said, that did it. He said, did what? I said, when I take over this bank, you won't get a dime from me. I'll guarantee you. He said, when do you plan to take over this bank? I said, during the millennium. He said, during the what? I said, the millennium. It's the bank president. I said, the millennium. He said, Reverend, what in the world is the millennium? I said, if you'll get your vice presidents and secretaries and get in that conference room in there, I'll show you. He got 25 executives from the bank and secretaries and got around the conference room, and I got the Bible. Little old hellfire and damnation preacher taught a course in the Bible on the millennium. I taught him about when the lamb would lie down with the wolf and the lamb would lie down together. Maybe even a fox or two. I don't know. And I told him how that when the day was going to come when men would beat their swords, their plowshares, and their spears and pruning hooks. I told him that he was going to come when they would not hurt nor destroy all of God's holy mountain. I told him about the day when a person shall die at the age of 100 and folks will say, oh, a little baby died, because folks won't die young in those days. I told him about the time when Jesus would come in the clouds of glory and set up his kingdom on earth and reign from Jerusalem. I showed him Isaiah 15, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 25, Isaiah 35. I showed him Revelation 14, Revelation 15. I showed him Revelation 6 and Revelation 20. I showed him Zechariah 14. I showed him Daniel 7, Daniel 2. And I taught those 25 bank executives and secretaries a Bible study on the millennium. And I said, Mr. Banker, I want to tell you something. In that day, the Bible says that Christians are going to rule the world. God's going to give some 10 cities, and God's going to give some 5 cities, and God's going to give some 2 cities. And I said, Mr. Banker, I've asked God for heaven. When I run this town, I'll sit where you sit, and you'll stand where I stand. And I said, you'll come to me wanting to borrow some money. I said, what kind of security do you have? You'll say, my word. I say, my word, my word, my word. And you'll say, what collateral do you have? And now he'll say, my signature. And I'm going to say, your signature won't do. And I said, Mr. Banker, I'll guarantee you, when I take over this bank, you'll starve. That's what you'll do. He said to his secretary, quick, write Reverend Howes a check for $5,000. And I walked out that bank with $5,000 check from that bank. Now, look, folks, if I got the fella who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, I don't have to worry if one of my cows gets out and runs off. If I got the fella who owns the oil wells, I don't have to worry if one of them goes dry. Brother House, what would you do? You got any money in the bank? Yeah, I got a little money saved up for a rainy day. But Brother House, what would you do if you lost it? I'd just go back to the moneymaker. I've got the fountain. And that's why, by the way, that's why I give it away. Well, you say, well, how's you get all the stuff you give away? What's going to happen? Well, I own the fountain. You see, Solomon said, if you get your money from the world, it brings a sorrow with it, but you get your money from God, there's no sorrow with it. Why? Haven't got to worry about losing it. Why? Because you own the fountain. Let's go to the matter of education or learning. And God gives them. You know, Dr. Evans, you know, and most everybody knows it's true, but you know it's true for anybody else. I don't have anything I want to hide as far as what I know. I don't want everybody. People say, well, is it true that somebody stole some of your material? Well, brother, if you can steal my material and get it to more people than I can get it to have at it, I'd love for you to steal it. Fellow said, Brother House, how about your copyrights? I think I may have said this last night. I don't know. I don't even know if we copyright books. It says our printer puts it on there, but I don't think we've copyrighted one in years. Well, what if somebody, Brother House, were to steal your book and sell a million copies and make all the money? Great. He can get a million copies out. Have at him. I don't want the money. Let him have it. Well, you say, preacher, what's going to happen to you when you get old? I am. I own the fountain. I don't worry about the water. I have the fountain. By the way, you keep it and the fountain runs dry. You distribute it and the fountain keeps flowing. Same thing's true about education. Anything I know, you can learn it. I want everybody to know what I know. You say, why? Because as long as I keep it moving, it'll keep coming. As long as I keep spreading truth, I'll keep getting truth. I mean, whether it's money or knowledge. Get it, give it, get it, give it, get it, give it, get it, give it. But you get it. You're going to get weighted down. And you can't keep getting it unless you give it. I made my $1 million. And many, many, many times over that $1 million. And I'm going to say this tonight, and I probably shouldn't say it, but as many things I say I shouldn't say, one more is not going to hurt. I could be richer tonight than Russell Anderson if I'd have taken the opportunities that have been given me. That's why I don't feel intimidated around rich people. I don't worry about how I walk, you know. Yeah, around a bunch of women, I get that way. I walk like this. But around rich people, I don't. Why? Because all the money they got, I own the fountain. And that's why educated people don't intimidate me either. I don't care if you got a PhD, a DDT, FHA. I don't care what you got. I don't care. Name it. I don't care what you got. I don't mean to be unkind to you fellows that have PhDs. But I'm sorry, I just don't feel intimidated around you. You know why? Because I own the fountain of knowledge. And if he said, Brother House, aren't you afraid that you'll teach all these preacher boys everything you know? And they'll know as much as you do? Well, they already do. Nobody knows as much as a college freshman preacher. You've got to understand they already know more than anybody in the world. But look, the only way I can keep knowledge coming is keep knowledge going. It's a fountain. There's a fountain flowing. And that's what Solomon is saying. If you learn as the world counts learning, and you don't give it out, and you don't use the knowledge you have, and you don't spread it and spread the truth, he said, sorrow comes with it. But he said, when God gives you those same facts, you keep on. You know one reason why? Take this little truth right here. This truth right here. There are people all of this house tonight who say, I never thought of that before. Well, where do you get all of those things? I keep it moving. And so I just shovel it out. Now sometimes I shovel out everything I got in the smokehouse on a Sunday night. I got to find something for next Sunday. You say, ever worry about that? No, I own the fountain. See? It's not the truth. It's the fountain. It's not the money. It's the fountain. And if you keep on giving it out, that's why these theologians, most of these Bible colleges, are as dead as last year's Christmas tree. They're giving the same old outlines that have been given since 1913. I mean, they got it from Moses on Mount Sinai. You know who's ruined the country? Theologians have ruined the country. I mean that. Theologians have ruined the country. Everybody in this room believe that this Bible right here I hold tonight was the Word of God till you met a theologian. Every one of you. They ruined the country. Somebody said, Brother Howells, a guy named Pete Ruckman who stands for the King James Bible said, you must be a Ruckmanite. No, I'm not a Mamaite. My mama taught me this book here was the Word of God years ago, and I thought she knew what she's talking about, and still do. But I'm saying that stale, dry, they're still sitting and saying,
the silver in the tabernacle is a symbol of redemption.
Who said so? Show me a verse that says that.
And brass is a symbol of judgment.
Show me a verse in the Bible that says that. Now, it may be. And if you want to teach it, okay. But boy, I want to tell you something. I'd rather get a hold of a truth like this tonight and show you the difference between the same riches, same dollar bills. If the world gives it to you, sorrow comes. God gives it to you, no sorrow. Why? You haven't got to worry. Why? You know the source of it. You own the fountain, not just the water. Same thing's true about friendship. I don't have to worry about friendship. You know, some of you folks, you get a friend, you want to hoard that friend. You don't want that friend to be anybody else's friend, and especially, you don't want that friend to be a friend of your enemy. Now, you're looking at a fella, I don't care who my friends are friends with. I want my friends to have more friends. And I don't care if I'm the top friend or second friend or third friend, as long as I'm on the list of friendship. You know why? Because, see, if the world gives you your friends, you got to worry. What if I lose them? What if I lose them? What if I lose them? If God gives them to you, you say, I bet he's got some more. And if God gives them to you, you got the maker of friendship. You got the fountain of friendship. That's one reason why I don't guard my church members. I don't say to you, don't you go ever go hear anybody else preach. Now, personally, I think you ought to be in your own church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But I don't say that a lot because I don't want to guard my church. I don't want to be afraid. Oh, if you ever hear anybody else preach, you'll leave the church. I don't live like that. I don't live like that. I mean, brother, I know the fella who makes church members. I know the fella who gets people saved and redeems folks. I know the one who leads them. I know the one who gives friends. I don't have to say, oh, I'm going to lose my money. Oh, I'm going to lose my friends. Oh, I'm not going to be as smart as somebody. Somebody's getting smarter than I am. All I do, brother, I just take the money as God gives it and keep on shoveling it and keep on taking it and keep on shoveling it and keep on. I'm just a conduit. That's all I am. I'm a water pipe. If your commode was like you, you'd have a awful time. That's not very spiritual, but it illustrates what I'm saying. I mean, if your commode never gave out, you just took in. I think I'm in trouble. But it's true. It's true. The trouble with you is, brother, you haven't been flushed enough. Take it and give it, and 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 take it and give it. By the way, that's where you keep the pipes clean, too. Boy, this is deep, isn't it? I tell you, it's so deep, the average professor in the average Bible college in America doesn't know anything about it. I guarantee you. Worries? Oh, what you going to do when a rainy day comes? What you going to do? I'm going to go to the fountain, turn it on. Brother Hines. Aren't you afraid some of these folks at college and some of you members, they'll learn all you know? I want them to. Only way in the world I can get something new for next Sunday is to unload what I got this Sunday. Aren't you afraid somebody's going to, you're going to lose a friend? Not by putting him in a jail cell. I'm not going to keep him. Same thing's true about fame. I don't care about being famous. Notoriety does not impress me a bit. None. Clyde Bear and Bonnie Parker were well known. John Dillinger was famous. What's the other guy? He used to live in Chicago. Al Capone was well known. I mean, just to be well known doesn't affect me at all. God knows how well known he wants me to be. And brother, I mean this. I'll preach tomorrow night way up in the northern part of California. And I'll preach to a crowd of people that couldn't fill this section right here.
And I'll be in a room without a telephone or a television. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I'll be as excited tomorrow night as I am tonight. I'm not trying to get crowds. I'm trying to do God's will. Fool you on fame. Fool you on money. Now hold it. God gives you, if God gives you the same fame the world gives you, you haven't got to worry about it because God gave it to you, and if He gave it to you, you've got some more. I want to be as well known as God wants me to be. I want to have as much money as I can distribute. I want to have as much knowledge as I can distribute. I want to have friends I won't have to worry about and fret about, and I'm not one hundredth as concerned about having friends as I am about being a friend. First place, you can't lose a friend. You can't lose a friend. He was your friend. You haven't lost him. If you lost him, he was not your friend. That's why I don't have to be jealous. I wonder if he likes me more than he likes Colston. Of course he does. Who wouldn't? I don't care. I don't care. I led the church to pay off the Colston's house. They got a house. I still be being paid on. I don't want it. Church tried to give it to me years ago. I turned it down. If you'd been a good Christian, you would have too. Ouch. Ouch. Listen, anybody in this world deserves anything he can get, that fellow right there. Not a better man alive than that fellow right there. If you want to love him more than you love me, have at it. If you want to be stupid, go ahead. But it doesn't bother me. I don't have to worry about that. Because I have the fountain. Have the fountain. Solomon said, all is vanity. Why was all vanity? Because Solomon got his riches from the world, and he got his fame from the world, and he got his friends from the world, and he got his education from the world. If God had given him the same thing, he'd had the fountain and wouldn't have to worry about losing the water. Boy, that's good. That's why that I'm talking tonight about the root of unselfishness. Root of it. You don't have to be selfish if you got the fountain. I want to say this also. Not only when the wise man said, "The gifts are the blessing of the Lord; it maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow with it." Not only was he talking about the same gifts that the world gives, but he was also talking about some gifts the world cannot give. You see, the same thing the world offers brings sorrow with it. God gives you that same thing. There's no sorrow with it. But there is an area where the world cannot go and the world cannot give you. And two words involved there. Two words, grace and truth. Now, the world can give you everything, but the world can't give you grace and the world can't give you truth. Now, if the world gives you something, with the something the world gives you, there's a sorrow. If God gives you the same thing, there's no sorrow, but the world can't give you grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is forgiveness. That's the whole thing. And the world can't give you forgiveness. What is truth? Truth is enlightenment. And the world can't give you truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He was full of grace and truth. The world's not full of grace, and it's not full of truth. So, there is, in one area, Solomon is saying, when he says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. He's talking about the same blessings the world gives. When God gives you the same thing, it is not accompanied by sorrow. But he's also saying there are some things only God can give you, and when God gives you those things, no sorrow with it. You say, "Now hold it, preacher. Wait a minute. When God gives you forgiveness and grace and truth and enlightenment, doesn't suffering always accompany?" Yeah, it usually does. But God doesn't give it. God sends, for example, a truth winging your way. And that truth comes towards you. But because you're so crusty and hard,
you can't receive it. God did not send the sorrow. The sorrow was caused because you could not absorb the truth because of your condition. God never sends sorrow with His truth. God sends His truth. But the sorrow is caused by our travail to receive and accept that truth because of the hardness of our own hearts. Let me illustrate. Here's a beautiful winding mountain stream. And that winding mountain stream suddenly is rooted, routed, a place where there's an old shack of a house. And that beautiful mountain stream, as it comes down the mountain, all of a sudden takes with it that shack of a house and destroys the house. Did the stream cause the house to be destroyed? No. The faulty construction of the house caused it to be destroyed. When you are right with God and a strong Christian, the truth that God gives you and the grace that God gives you and the enlightenment God gives you and the forgiveness that God gives you will not cause you any sorrow. The sorrow is caused by the fact we have to get broken before we can accept and obey the truth of God. You understand what I'm saying? Not caused by God. God's blessings have no sorrow added. The sorrow is caused because of our improper construction. And God's sweet mountain stream of blessing comes toward us, and we're not prepared for it. In order for that truth to be born in us, we have to travail. But it's not God causing it, it's the condition, our condition that causes it. God wouldn't have to put some of you young couples through what He's putting you through. God didn't do it. It's the condition of your life that makes it necessary for God to break you with sorrow. And in my life also, God does it. Why? It's not because God has to do it or wants to do it, and God does not send the sorrow. God's will, God's truth, God's grace, and God's plan comes to us. But in order for us to be in a condition and position to accept His grace and truth, oftentimes we have to suffer. To condition ourselves to accept His will, accept His purpose, or accept His truth. Now, two conclusions. One is, let God give you what He wants, what He chooses. God wants to make you rich? Good. Just keep on taking it and giving it. That's all. I used to read about George Mueller, prayed down $7 million in his lifetime. I thought, my soul. Well, I've got to pray down a lot more than that every year. I've had millions and millions and millions of dollars come through my hands that I could have kept. My books have sold 10 million copies. Add it up. Most preachers get the royalty on their books. Every dime that I have made on every book I've ever sold has been given away. I've not taken it. You say, well, Brother Hodge, you're crazy. I own the fountain. I don't have to worry if the water spills. Oh, stock market went down. I lost. One fellow said to me, Jack DeCosta said, he picked up the newspaper and looked at the stocks and said, lost $500,000 today. I said, where did you lose it? I was reading the funny papers. I lose $500,000. Didn't have to lose. I'll be at all. Brother Anderson and I were sitting on the airplane one time. He was reading this little bit of doojiggers there in the back, you know, a dull looking part with no pictures. You know. I said, what you reading, Russ? He said, the futures market. I got my Bible out, turned Revelation. What you reading, Brother Hiles? Reading the futures market. And what he's got invested in the futures market couldn't buy one little foundation of the holy city in Revelation 21. Couldn't buy one little stone on it. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. Why worry? Why fret? If you got the water, That's what the world. The world gives you the water. It gives you the money, gives you the knowledge, gives you the fame. And the education. Learning. It gives it to you. Bring sorrow. What sorrow? I may lose it. Friends, I may lose it. Money, I may lose it. Don't know if I have any friends or not. Don't know if I keep them or not. I'm afraid they'll like somebody more than they like me. Nervous wrecks. Let God give you what He wants you to have. God wants to give you $1 million. Take it. But if He gave it to you, and you're cognizant of it, you don't have to worry about losing it. He can print some more. He owns it all. God gives you the fame He wants you to have. You don't have to worry about losing it. Because He can make you as famous as He wants you to be. And then you come into an area where the world cannot give it to you. The world can't give you the peace of forgiveness. The world can't give you the joy of being bathed in the grace of God. The world can't give you divine truth. So whatever God gives you, share it. Pass it on. Is it money? Pass it on. If you lose it, don't worry about it. Go to the fountain. Suppose tonight you go to get a drink of water. Water fountain over here. All of a sudden, you get a big mouthful of water. And all of a sudden, it goes down the wrong pipe. And you spit it all out. You don't say, oh, my soul.
There went my water. Oh, my. I'm afraid the price of water is going to go up. Oh, my water. My water.
Get out on the floor and sweep it up. Put it in your handkerchief and squeeze it out in a cup. That's where you do your money. Don't worry about that. What do you do? Just go back to the fountain. I'll close with this. I'm trying to find some sad story to think of. I'll close with this. It's a cold winter day in Texas. Gets down to 35. And you pick up the newspaper, turn on the radio, and my mom and I did this thousands of times, and Earlene remembers this. She's in Texas tonight, by the way, on vacation. But here on the radio says it's going to get down to 28 tonight. And my mama would say, son, better turn off the water. Now, how'd you turn off the water? Out in the flower bed in front of the house was a little old doojigger. A little piece of metal like thing comes up like that and forms an L. And you take that thing and you turn it off. On Halloween night, we used to go around and turn everybody's off. But anyway, well, that the other kids did, and I followed and turned them back on. But anyway, we turn the water off. Now, but before we turn the water off, you know what we do? We'd fill up the bathtub with water. Bathtub. We didn't have a bathtub. We'd fill up number two tub. That was the bathtub. And you've never, never known humility until you bathe in a number two tub. We'd fill the bathtub. And then we'd fill up the buckets with water. And then we'd fill up all the saucepans with water. And fill up the skillets with water. And the fruit jars with water. That's all we had to drink out of anyhow. Fill it up with water. We'd fill everything up with water. And turn the water off. And Mom would say, now son, it's going to come a freeze. Be careful, don't use that water too much. Boy, we'd ration that water. You know why? Water was off. Water was off. And we'd worry about it. And we got the place where we had indoor facilities.
The only way you could flush the commode was to get a bucket of water and pour it down there. And we'd flush it once a week. I mean, really, it's terrible. But word said, how about the water? If we didn't turn the water off, the pipes would freeze, and when the thaw came, they'd crack, and the pipes would crack, and water would go everywhere. Sometimes it'd even ruin the foundation of a house, not a foundation we had. But if the water's on, no problem. All you got to do is just turn the faucet, and the water keeps coming. That's what the wise man is saying here. A lot of you worried too much about the money that you got. Worried way too much about it. I mean, if you got it anywhere from the Lord, there's some sorrow with it. My uncle used to say, son, I don't know if I have a friend or not. I never know if anybody's nice to me because of my money or because of me. I felt so sorry for him. Anybody's nice to me, it's because of me, not the money. But if God gives you the same money, don't fret about it. Because you got the fountain instead of the water. You own the source. You know the source. Same thing true about knowledge. Don't be afraid of telling all you know. That's the way you learn more. Don't be afraid about you get a little well known or a little popular. Don't be worried about that. God can give you all the friends you need to have. And don't be worried about somebody liking somebody more than they like you. The one who makes friends is my Heavenly Father. Solomon never was happy. Solomon, I can't go to you and say, how do you get happy? I can't do that. But I can ask you, how do you keep from being happy? Solomon said, I can tell you one way. Everything the world has to offer brings sorrow with it. But the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow. I wish you knew what I'm talking about tonight. I really do. I wouldn't trade one 45-minute assembly with those little boys and girls in Vacation Bible School for all the money they got in all these banks downtown Hammond. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Old Dr. John Rice used to say, Dr. Rice didn't have any insurance. He wouldn't have insurance on his churches. Never kept it down. Had a church to burn to the ground one time without a dime insurance. They rebuilt it. Somebody used to say, Dr. Rice, I've heard him say it many times. He said, Dr. Rice, okay, you don't have any insurance, and okay, but what if you die? What's going to happen, Mrs. Rice? You can't expect her to live on your faith. Oh, Dr. John would say, you wait and see. Yeah, when I die, if I died now, within 6 months, Mrs. Rice would marry a rich banker. He died, and she didn't. But she's doing very well, thank you. Because she knows the fountain. She doesn't have to hoard the water. Thank you for your word.